So last week we looked at the test of obedience. Do we follow God's commands? Do we do what God says to do? And that was one of the ways that John was telling us that we can tell whether our faith is real, whether we can tell if we really are in the family of God. And we crave that assurance of salvation, don't we? I mean, look, times of doubt come, problems come, problems in life come, and we need to be able to be confidently assured that we are in God's hands. And you know the time that you were saved. I hope that you do. You can look back to a time when God changed your life. But even then, we can look back and we have questions. And John today is going to write to us about a second test. And he is going to explain that there is a new kind of love that comes into the life of a believer when we accept Jesus Christ, and that this new kind of love is a test of true salvation. And obviously, if it's a test of true salvation, it is also an assurance of our salvation. So stand, if you will, let's read 1 John chapter 2. We're going to read verses 7 through 11. And what he's going to do in these verses is he is going to explain that love, this new kind of love, is the preeminent sign, a preeminent sign that we have become genuine believers and that we have genuine faith. So here's what he said beginning in verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You can be seated. So remember, what John is dealing with is doubt on the part of his children in Ephesus. He's dealing with false teachers who come in and they say, hey, you've got to have this super secret knowledge. And what were they doing? They were causing the followers to sin. They were teaching them that sin was not a big deal, or, hey, it's all right, God will forgive everything, so just go do it. So they were causing followers to stumble. And we know that stumble is kind of a biblical term for falling into sin. So this is what was going on, and John says, wait a minute. You need to look at this issue. You need to look at whether there is this new kind of love in your life. And if there is, then you know you're saved. You don't need special knowledge. And he also says you need to look at whether there is this new kind of love in the life of those people who are leading you astray. Because if this new kind of love is not in their life, just as he's been saying for the last 3 weeks, they are liars and you should not follow them. So this test of love becomes a huge deal. And that's what we're going to get in today. We're going to talk about love. And everybody thinks, oh, hey, I know what love is. We're going to look at the way the Bible talks about this new kind of love. Jesus, back in his day, remember, this is about 50 years after Jesus was crucified, but Jesus told us about the importance of love. You know, one day he was confronted by a Pharisee who was trying to test him. And in Matthew 22, 34, we start reading this story. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of all?" So here's how Jesus answers. You just wish that you could hear Jesus answer these in person. And we will sometime. We will someday. But listen to what he said. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. But then he goes on, he says, and the second is like this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So Jesus emphasized the importance of love. And remember, he looked at it vertically, love between us and God. He looked at it horizontally, us between God and other people. The first commandment, if we get this right, the love relationship between us and God, the second commandment should take care of itself. If our relationship with God on the love spectrum is right, if we love like God loves, then our relationship to other people is going to be right too. And that's what we're going to see. So if we don't love like God loves, what does that mean for our relationship with other people? It means it's going to be askew. It's going to be wrong. It's going to be a stumbling block. It's going to be something that doesn't encourage. It doesn't lift them up. It doesn't edify them. So what he's saying is, I want you to look at this thing called love, and we're going to tear it apart because I want you to know. Remember, John's goal is that we know that we have eternal life. And he's going to do it through talking about love today. So go back to verse 7. Let's walk it through. We're going to see that he's got three things in here. He's going to say love is an old commandment, love is a new commandment, and love is a way of life. But the first one is love as an old commandment. Verse 7 says, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. So John's pointing out that the commandment of loving one another and loving God has always been in what we would call the Bible. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, I like the God of the New Testament who's all about love, right? You heard that? Here's what God said in the Old Testament, Leviticus 19:18. You shall not take vengeance or bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's not just a New Testament concept. God has always been teaching the importance of love between his people. And he's always said, this is the way I want you to be. And our response would be, well, why, Lord? And his answer is, because it reflects who I am. You're showing who I am. You're showing the kind of love that I gave to you when you give this kind of love to other people. You know, Paul said this in Romans. He quoted that scripture, but in Romans 13, he says, look, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Listen to these next parts. He says, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, all of these are summed up in the saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Think about that. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Love edifies, love builds up. And, you know, you think, well, just like the story of the Good Samaritan, who's my neighbor? Who is our neighbor? It's anybody. Anybody and everybody. John's writing this to his children, to believers. But look, these guidelines, these sayings of God, they apply to anybody. They apply to everybody. And John says, look, you guys know this. You knew it from the beginning. He says, you've had this from the beginning. And what does he mean by beginning? When they became Christians, they experienced this love of God and they knew about the love of God. So from the very beginning of their Christian life, they had this type of knowledge. It was not something that they had to get from the Gnostics. It was not something they had to get from the false teachers. Rather, they had it, and they had had it all the time in their knowledge. So in that sense, It is an old commandment. It's been around since the time of Moses, been around before that actually, because God showed his love to Adam and Eve. But we know that John's getting ready to take another step. So look at verse 8. He just talked about this old commandment. Now he says, again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you. So this new commandment, he's saying, is true in him being Jesus and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So your first thought would be, well, wait a minute, John's contradicting himself, because he said in verse 7 it was an old commandment. Now he's saying it's a new commandment. Well, the word he uses for new is not new in order. It's new in character. It's the best expression is it's fresh. And I've come up with some examples, and here's the best one. How many of you go to Walmart or Kroger and you get one of these giant strawberries? You come home, you slice it, and it tastes good. I mean, it's a strawberry, right? But then you go and you grow your own strawberry, or you go to the farmer's market and you get a fresh strawberry. Y'all recognize the difference in taste? That's what he's talking about. He's saying, yeah, it's love, but there's a freshness to it. It's kind of like, you know, Kenny and Karen were talking about music this morning, and JR. You can hear a song, and hey, I kind of like that song, but then you hear it with full orchestra, full music, and it just blows you away. Anybody ever heard that? That's what he's talking about. It's a new kind of love. It's a new freshness in quality. It's a new deepness of love. So the old commandment has always been there. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's always been there. That's the Shema. That is the Jewish prayer they say every day. It's Old Testament, Deuteronomy. It's everywhere. But now he's saying there's something fresh about it. There's something different about it. And here's what it is. He says in verse 8, which thing, that is the love, is true in him and in you. So there should be a freshness, a newness of this kind of love in Jesus Christ, and because it is first in Jesus Christ, it is in us. So we should be living out this kind of love. We should be different in our love. Yes, we should still be loving the same way we were, but as we grow in Christ, it's going to get fresher. It's going to get new. It's going to be new every day. It's going to be like going to your garden and getting that great strawberry to eat. It's going to be like hearing the full orchestrated version of the song. It's going to be tasting that greatest recipe that somebody gave you, and you finally got it right. You know, you've always put the same ingredients in there, but this time it worked. And it just tastes great. That's the freshness that he's talking about. It's not the same old thing. So look at the freshness that Jesus Christ brought to love. And you got to think about what love was like then. You know, the Pharisees had this rule that they would love people that were good, that followed the rules. Well, Jesus came along and he brought a fresh approach to love on that one, didn't he? He said, I'm going to love sinners. I'm going to love those people that don't follow the rules. I'm going to love those people that need me because they need a Savior. I'm going to love everybody. That was a different concept. That was a fresh concept. And how am I going to love them? Am I just going to do good things to them? No, I'm going to love them enough, Jesus said, to lay down my life for them. I'm going to love them enough to serve them. I'm going to love them enough on my apostles. I'm going to love them enough to wash their filthy, dirty feet. They won't get this, but I'm going to love them that much. I'm going to love them so much that I am willing to abandon my godhood. I'm willing to come down to this planet, live for 33 years, be crucified, tortured, and killed because I love them that much. So we don't need to know about the basic concept of love. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and he said, look, concerning brotherly love, you don't need to be educated. You know this, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. But he's saying, John's saying, you got to go beyond that. This new kind of love, this fresh kind of love is going to bring about a change in your attitude, which is going to bring about a change in your actions, which leads us to his third point, which is this new kind of love produces a new way of life. It's not robotic. It's not mechanical. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's not complying with your honey-do list. And listen to what he says. And here he gives the test again, and he puts it just like he's been putting it, verses 9 through 11. He says, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness. So you're not in the light if you say that you're in the light and you hate your brother. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So here's what was happening. These false teachers, these Gnostics, they were lording the knowledge that they had, this supposed special knowledge, which John's already said, there's no special knowledge. It's knowledge of him. That's all you need. But they were lording that knowledge over people. And how were they treating these quote, common people? They were treating them bad because they didn't have that special knowledge. And they weren't loving these people. They weren't loving the people that were put under their care. They weren't loving their fellow man. And Jesus had said before, by this, all will know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. So these people were not passing John's tests. We saw last week they didn't pass the obedience test, but today they're not passing the love test. And how do we know? Because they would say, and this word hate, you got to understand, is loveless. L-O-V-E space less. So he who says he is in the light, hey, I'm enlightened. I've got all this special knowledge, but I don't love my brother. That person is walking in darkness. So he wants us to look at the kind of love we have one for another and say, am I walking in that darkness? But he also wants us to look at the love that these teachers had and understand that they are not walking in the kind of life that a true believer will have. When the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you, you become a new creation. For the very first time in your life, you are capable of loving like Jesus loves. Understand that. Until you are a Christian, you can't love with a godly love. You can be nice to people. You can do great things for people. You can be sweet to people. You can send Valentines. You can do all kinds of things. But until you become a Christian, you don't have the capacity to love in this godly way. You don't have the capacity to love in a sacrificial, unconditional way. And we use that word agape, and understand what it is. That word is a love of the will. I want the best for this person, and I'm willing to do what I can to make sure that this person experiences the best in life. What is the best in life all over for everybody? It's to believe in Jesus Christ, right? So I'm willing to do whatever I can to make sure to share my testimony, to talk to people, to teach, to preach, to do all these kind of things where people will accept Jesus Christ. Well, what if I don't like them? Okay, this is exactly what John's talking about. If I say I don't want to share the gospel with somebody because they're Islamic or because there's some cult or whatever, I'm not showing the kind of love that God wants us to show. Did God show His love to the lost? Yeah. If God has shown His love to you and you have become a child of God, you need to remember where you were. We were just as lost as the Islamic people. We were just as lost as the cults. We were just as lost as the Moonies. Okay? but God showed us through His Word what He was, who He was, and He showed us this kind of love. And now look, this is not talking about even a Christian, a long-time Christian, may have a hateful feeling here and there. This is talking about a lifestyle. This is talking about when your first reaction is hate, your last reaction is hate. We know people like this. They're always angry. They're always bundled up in hate. There's always somebody out to get them. There's always somebody against them. That's the hate that he's talking about. It's the way of life. And here's what you're going to find as a Christian. When those hateful feelings come up and you have hate towards somebody, it's going to come up. The Holy Spirit's going to convict you. Hey, that is a wrong attitude. You need to confess it and move on. And if you're listening to the Holy Spirit, you won't be able to resist that temptation to confess it very long. Your life is going to be uncomfortable where that hateful feeling is in there. So that's his test. He said, do you feel uncomfortable when you say, I hate somebody? I like them less? Do you feel like that? If you don't, then there's a problem. So if you're one of these teachers over here, and you're this kind of person that is lording all of this over people, you have an issue. And then look at this next one. This is very, very important. Verse 10. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. What Jesus is saying is, if you truly love your brother the way that God intended you to love your brother, you will not lead them into sin. So we can look back at what was going on in this church. We know that the Gnostics were leading people into sin because they were saying either sin doesn't exist or, hey, just have at it. God will forgive you for everything. That would not be the loving approach that somebody who truly loves somebody else would take, right? We would want them to understand the importance of sin, the role of sin, and the fact that it needs to be confessed. Let's bring that up today. Can you think of things where people say, oh, I love you, let's go do this? Premarital sex is one. But I love you. If you love them, you're not going to lead somebody into a sin. You're not going to cause them to stumble. Well, but let's go do this for fun. Let's go break into something and do it. No, that's a sin, folks. And true love is not going to cause that other person to stumble. What do you know, Paul said this way, knowledge puffs up. So the more you know, the tendency is to get real stuffy, get that nose high up in the air. He says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Love builds up. And there's a difference. You're going to have all kinds of opportunities to talk to people, and you can share your knowledge with them, you can share your love with them, or you can do both. Don't just share your knowledge with them. Show them your love. Use that knowledge that you have to show them your love, to explain your love for God and for them. Because this kind of love that people have, that we are to have for one another, is supernatural. It doesn't exist in the natural man. It's not out there in the world. The world sees love as something completely different. You turn on the TV, you've got no problem finding out what the world sees love as. Love, true Christian love is, I want the best for you. I want you to be who God wants you to be. And if I can pray for you, if I can help you get there, then that is true love. Whatever I can do to help you be the person God has called you to be is love. It's not going to be a situation where you're hating somebody, you're loving them less, or you're stumbling. So let's think about it as we close today. You know, Jesus' example of love, because John says, look, this kind of love, this freshness of love is in Him, and it should be in you. So are we fresh in our love? Do we take an approach to people that says, I don't really care who you are. I'm not a respecter of persons. I'm going to love you no matter who you are. I hope so. Do we take a position that we're willing to share our testimony, that we're willing to share the gospel with anybody, no matter what religion they may be, no matter what color they may be, no matter what orientation they may be? Is there some barrier that we have to sharing this gospel? If there is, John says you need to reevaluate where you stand, because that's not the kind of love that you should have as a Christian. That's not the kind of love you should have as a true believer in Jesus Christ. Are we willing to sacrifice for others? You know, maybe we're not going to be called on to sacrifice our lives, but are we willing to sacrifice our time? Are we willing to sacrifice our money? Are we willing to sacrifice our will? That's the biggest one. Money can be easy sometimes. Time, a little tougher. But am I willing to give up something I want, really want, for the best for somebody else? That's the kind of love God had. Am I willing to serve my fellow man? Am I willing to either literally or proverbially wash their feet? Am I willing to do the menial task in service of people that Jesus Christ would do? Because He did the most menial of tasks. And the grossest of tasks at that date, you know. Washing their, you got to remember, they walked in dirt and mud all day long. So these guys get to the upper room that night, they're nasty. Jesus Christ was the one that served them. Notice they didn't all get up, "Hey, Jesus, let me wash your feet." That wasn't the way it worked. So are we willing to love them? Are we willing to sacrifice for them? Are we willing to serve them? And then here's the tough one. If I hadn't got you on tough yet, here comes one. Are we willing to forgive them? Toughest thing sometimes is forgiving a brother. Are we willing to do that? Jesus Christ offered forgiveness to those very men that nailed Him to that cross, to those very men that carted Him up, whipped Him as He was on His way up there. Are we willing to love like God? Are we willing to love unconditionally? Well, I'll love you so long as you fill in the blank. That is not love, folks. That's not love. Love is, I expect nothing in return. I'm doing this for your best interest, and I don't really care what impact it has on me. If it causes me loss, but you're advanced, that's good. If it causes me gain, that's good too. My focus is on you. My focus is on the person that I'm loving, that I'm showing this type of godly love to. Everybody thinking, "Oh gosh, that's a lot." Anybody thinking that?
Yeah.
Be honest. And that's why it's supernatural. We cannot do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it without God living inside of us. It just can't happen. We don't think like that. We're by nature selfish people. We're by nature people that promote ourselves. We want what's best for us, me, myself, and I, right? And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you look to Jesus first. This goes back to Jesus' answer. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second one is like this. Love your neighbor as yourself. You get it right vertically, you get it right horizontally. But love is the standard by which we measure our relationship to God. Do we show this new kind of love that He's given to us? Is it fresh in our lives? And then it's also the standard that we use to evaluate our relationship with others. Do we love them or do we hate them? We're not going to ever admit we hate anybody, right? But what we're going to say, "I don't like him as much." That's exactly what the Jewish idiom means. It's, you know, Jesus said at one time, if you do not hate your mother and father, He didn't mean hate your mother. He says, look, if you don't love them less than me, then you're not fit to be my disciple. We have to love God first, then we have to love others. So that's John's challenge today. He lays down the gauntlet again. Do you want the assurance of salvation? Same slides we had last week. Guy's still jumping up, still happy, still excited. And he's still excited because he's got the assurance of his salvation. And look, these tests build. Do I do what God says? Do I have this kind of love for people? We're going to see others. But these are written so that we have assurance of our salvation and we have complete assurance of where it's from. There's no doubt in our minds that salvation alone comes from God. It's not secret knowledge. It's not power. It's not riches. It's not anything else you can think of. It is knowing Jesus Christ. It is, in fact, who you know. It's not what you know. It's who you know. So if you don't know Him today, I hope this has motivated you to know Him. If you have friends that don't know Him today, this needs to be your mantra going out because they need to understand who He is and they need to understand that a whole different life, a fresh life, is waiting for them. And if you're here and you're all loved up with God, you're all loved up with people, that's wonderful. I'm thrilled for you. I want you to take it somewhere else. Meet somebody else. Talk to somebody else. Get a new person in your life that you can share that love with. Because that's what Jesus Christ did. He came to a world and shared it with everybody. You just have to show them through your words and through your actions that they're just like us. We're no different than they were before they were saved. And this love that God offers is the most precious gift they will ever get. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight, or this morning, we thank you for the words of John. We thank you that we can know assuredly that we are saved, Lord, and we can know that we are in your hands and that nothing can snatch us from that. Lord, I pray that as we think about this love today, we ask ourselves, am I really loving like you want me to love? Am I really loving you like you want to be loved? Am I willing to sacrifice? Am I willing to give of my time? Am I willing to die on that cross daily to follow you and to deny myself? Am I willing? Is that the desire of my heart? I'm not doing it because it's the right thing to do by robot. I'm not doing it because I have to do it. I'm doing it because I want so much to say thank you for the gift of salvation that you've given me that I have no other choice but to want to love others and to love you. Father, I just pray that you would put this message deep into the hearts of everyone who hears, that we would look at ourselves honestly and say, am I loving the way that God wants me to love? If we're not children of Christ, we can't do that, Lord. I pray that anybody who's hearing this message will say, I need to become a child of Christ because I want to be loved like that, and I want to love like that. For those of us that are Christians, Lord, I pray that we would look at our relationships and say, am I living this out? Am I walking the walk, not just talking the talk? Pray that you would guide us into that self-evaluation, Lord, and if there is something that's blocking us from doing that we would confess it, we would fall on our knees before you and say, Father, I have sinned. I've not loved like you want me to love. Change my heart. We know that you will do this. Father, we praise you. We do so in your Son's name. Amen.